You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
We have great confidence in our son. I am not concerned about any accusations been made against him. It's used to get to me. I think it's kind of foul play. But look, it is what it is. And he's a grown man. He is the smartest man I know. I mean, in for the pure intellectual capacity. And as long as he's good, we're good.
December the 18th, 2020. That's Joe Biden last night talking about his son, Hunter Biden, giving the first interview he's given on Hunter and all the problems and issues. Smartest man I know. Smartest man I know. He did the interview with somebody that really should have laughed at that. He's a comedian. He did it with CBS Late Show host Stephen Colbert. I mean, come on, Stephen. He set up a perfect line for you attack. He said, smartest man I know. And you didn't start laughing, saying that's great for our comedy show, our late night show? No, Stephen Colbert was trying to be a real journalist and getting this exclusive interview with Joe Biden and Joe Biden sitting beside him, Dr. Joe Biden. And he was ready with some tough questions. Oh, no, that's where I'm trying to be funny. There were no tough questions. None. Nothing at all about specifics, about the emails and how you're tied in. How do you explain? Nothing. This was the televised view and televised type interview that we all saw with Joe Biden coming out of the ice cream shop. He might as well have gone back and said, by the way, I never did hear what kind of ice cream you got. There were no tough questions. There's clearly a belief in the mainstream media that if we continue to ignore the Hunter Biden story, it will go away. It will just vaporize. Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican of South Carolina, is saying, I might be torn here, but we're also going to pay attention first to our country and our security.
Yeah, I like him. I have a lot of respect for him, but I find it hard to believe that if you're in charge of overseeing corruption in the Ukraine as vice president under the Obama administration, you didn't know your own son was on the board of Burisma, one of the most corrupt gas companies in the Ukraine.
And we're going to hear more from Lindsey Graham a little bit later about how deep investigation should go into Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, and the connection. We're going to be joined. I've got a very special guest for you, by the way, today. Very special. Been wanting to get this person on numerous times before, but schedule never worked out. Today it did. And I have another guest I definitely want you to hear. Tristan Justice with The Federalist. Got a great article he just put out. Since we're talking about Hunter and Joe Biden, Tristan Justice points out in his titled article, all the people who should be embarrassed about the latest Hunter Biden news. We're talking about how it's been covered and will be covered probably. Now, again, if they go into some other playbook where they're going to say, all right, let's go ahead and do what we can to tie Joe into some scandal with Hunter Biden to the extent that he has to leave office and Kamala steps in, they might still play that. And, of course, we are the victim of a major hacking. It was released partly the other day. More details are coming out. Democrat Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois said that is virtually a declaration of war. A declaration of war, and we should take it seriously. You'll hear more from him coming up shortly as well. On the election front, hear this. A recount confirms Trump won a Michigan county that reported Biden win on election night. They did a recount in Antrim County. They originally said Biden got 3,000 more votes than Trump, 3,000 more. 2 days later, they said Trump won by 2,500 votes. Then they say Trump, you know, might have been let. And then the final count they say is that Trump got 9,759 more, not more, but he got those votes versus 6,000 for Biden. Now, you don't think there's some fraud, something going on, those Dominion machines? Which brings me to my special guest, Sidney Powell, attorney Sidney Powell, joining me while the Dominion voting company demands that she retract any allegations that they were involved in any fraud. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
We are slowly returning to normal as we knew life before COVID. Still, you need to be cautious. Make sure your business, school, place of worship are safe. Now, that's where Wellington Environmental can help. You can schedule professional fogging or deep cleaning with just a phone call. I'll give you a number. But first, you should know Wellington Environmental now offers fogging equipment you can use. These individual units are in high demand. Wellington has them available for now. They cost about $500, but my listeners get a big price break, a $100 discount. Save $100 just by saying you heard about it on Larry Connors USA. For more information on getting your personal fogging device or to schedule professional fogging, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
There's no place to hide down here. No place to hide down here. Went to the rock, got on my knees. I heard the angels weep for me. No place to hide down here.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The press reports of Russian hacking into the security systems of the United States are as troubling as can be. This is nothing short of a virtual invasion by the Russians into critical accounts of our federal government. It is possible that they have compromised some of the most important and sensitive information that this government owns, information that we rely on to keep America safe.
Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois, Democrat, talking about the hacking, and they're blaming it on Russia. Russia's denying it, as you would expect. Now, here's apparently what we know at this point. The U.S. State Department, Department of Homeland Security, elements of the Department of Defense have reported being compromised. And it may have lasted for months, also targeting Treasury and Commerce departments. The Department of Energy said it moved quickly to protect that agency while it's still investigating. In fact, the Department of Energy spokesperson said at this point, the investigation has found the malware has been isolated to business networks only, has not impacted the mission essential national security functions of the department, including the National Nuclear Security Administration. Well, agencies and businesses across the globe still trying to make sense of what they're labeling the SolarWinds hack. Again, they think it's perpetrated by Russian agents. One U.S. official speaking on condition of anonymity said the hack was severe and extremely damaging, but added that it could be, while we don't know the full extent now, the worst hacking case in the history of America. He claims they got into everything. So the Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency has issued a fifth emergency directive, fifth ever, mandating government users disconnect from SolarWinds. SolarWinds services something like 300,000 clients, and that includes government agencies, almost all Fortune 500 companies. SolarWinds last weekend notified some 33,000 of its customers, quote, an outside nation state, end of quote, found a backdoor into some updated versions of Orion. And again, the spokesman said, we're going to look into it. We're into it now, and we're doing what we can. He said, in a nutshell, SolarWinds Orion product provides centralized monitoring across an organization's entire IT stack. That means attackers, he says, who were able to compromise this platform had an extremely high level of access to all client systems. Now, some of this has been breaking since last weekend, and it's been building, not knowing really how big it is. It was on Sunday the White House did confirm reports saying the government taking, quote, all necessary steps to identify and remedy any possible issues. But Congressman Stewart, who's on the House Intel Committee, Republican of Utah, said in looking at this and how it was carried out, and again, he also wants to blame Russia, as did Senator Durbin. And he was almost as strident as his remarks as Durbin was from the floor of the Senate. Here are the words of Congressman Stewart.
Look, I'm not suggesting we go bomb Russia, of course, but I'm saying there should be a price to pay, and too often there just isn't. I just think we have to fundamentally relook at that policy. And then the second thing I'll mention just very quickly, when anyone stands up and says, as the example you use, this was the most secure election in U.S. history, there were no breaches by foreign governments, if you say something that definitively about anything regarding cyber, you're simply wrong, because we just don't know.
Now, you heard him tie it back into the recent election because the Democrats, in trying to defend the Joe Biden voting numbers and everything else, have been saying there was no hack. There was no hack. Everything was kept out. And he's saying, look, we know this stuff goes on at different levels, whether or not it was affecting the election or anything else. And as he said, I'm not suggesting we go bomb Russia. Durbin said the same thing, but they're going to have to pay somewhere down the line. And, of course, there's another story that's been developing. And the way this plays out is hypocrisy, again. Like this article from CNN, saying when President Trump convened his cabinet at the White House Wednesday, as Washington absorbed news of a massive data breach, the heads of most agencies relevant to the intrusion, including the Department of Defense, State Department, Justice Department, Director of National Intel, the CIA, were absent. And said after the meeting, Trump said nothing about the attack. And they had this comma, which went undetected by his administration. See how they put that? His administration's intelligence agencies for months. If something goes wrong, well, it is on Trump's watch. I'm not going to give him a pass that sin. That's the way it goes down. But I love the way they say it's his administration's intel agencies. I don't ever remember them ever using something like that, reference an intel agency that had some kind of screw-up under Obama, saying his intel agency. I just don't remember. Maybe I'm wrong. But here's what they thought they would make the bigger part of the story, or at least a big part of it. Talking about how the president just remains silent, preoccupied instead with his election loss, and has invented claims of widespread voter fraud. You know, this is a kind of thing that if you put up on Twitter and it were reversed, reference the Democrats, you'd suddenly get a warning. You violated our code. You're spreading fake news. And the same thing with Facebook, but CNN puts it up on its platform, and they can link in a Russian, apparently Russian hacking, major hacking, and then say because Trump hasn't said anything about it, he's all occupied with invented claims of widespread voter fraud. And, of course, they're loving it because if it's Russia, then it ties back to Vladimir Putin, right? And they think we may have another hook on the Russian collusion story again. They might. A hook anyway for them to try to work. and amplify all the time, distracting from Hunter Biden. If you want to look at any kind of intel breach or any kind of sellout or any kind of opening where a foreign agent would get in, Hunter Biden. And, of course, Congressman Eric Swalwell and his Chinese sweetheart, who was a spy. But what you get from the Democrats, and I'm going to second what Durbin says here, is this is serious. The Hunter Biden thing, Swalwell, not so big. Well, I guess if you're trying to compile as to how much information came from each, I mean, how much information do you think Swalwell could have told his sweetheart on Pillow Talk or whenever they did it, or whatever he could give her? And the same thing with Hunter Biden. But it was a beginning, and they want to look away. If you're going to be concerned about security, shouldn't you be concerned at all levels? But back to the data breach briefly, and again, the words of Illinois Senator Dick Durbin.
There is a price to pay. No, I'm not calling for an invasion myself or all-out war. I don't want to see that happen. But it's no longer a buddy-buddy arrangement between the United States and Vladimir Putin. We have to take this man very seriously because he is a serious threat to the United States.
What about, what's that that country, that really big country, starts with a C? C-H. But Czechoslovakia, no, that's not right. What is it? I can't, C-H. China. Yeah, China. What about China? Not only are you sending spies all across the face of our nation to start grooming young politicians, working their way through city councils, county councils, state legislatures, into Congress, maybe into the Oval Office. When it comes to dealing with those kinds of issues, those are very real too. I mean, it's right there in front of them. But I'm seeing this, that right now the Democrats are going to overplay their hand on the hacking, and I'm not trying to dismiss it. It's critical. We should resolve it, find out who is behind it, and yeah, there should be some kind of penalty, short of invading Russia. But what if it's China? Do you think they would bring anything up maybe they would go to Joe or Hunter and say, well, what do you know? What do you know? What do you know about China on this? Now, Congressman Stewart, you heard a moment ago, he again is in the House Intel Committee, Republican of Utah. I always want to make sure you understand the relationship. And he was talking recently about general intel oversight. See, all of these agencies that I just listed that are involved in the FBI, CIA, and things of that nature, basically all come under House Intel Committee or Senate Intel Committee review and so forth. But, here's how Stewart classifies what they're supposed to be doing. Listen to this, please.
The House Intelligence Committee is designed and used to setting up and to provide oversight over the most sensitive information in the U.S. government, provide insight over Department of Justice, FBI, and every other agency who are given, by the way, enormous power, the ability to provide surveillance on any U.S. citizen.
Stop it right there. House Intel Committee, oversight on all these agencies that have enormous power, ability to provide surveillance on any U.S. citizen. Now, if they're looking for a Chinese spy cuddling up to a councilman, yeah, but then the Intel Committee says we need to be informed of it. But that's where he says we've been having problems just getting the swamp inside the FBI to respond to the House Minority Leader, Kevin McCarthy.
When those agencies refuse to reply or to respond to Kevin McCarthy, for example, or to the Intelligence Committee, right, as they have done again and again and again over the last 4 years, how many times have we asked them for information on the original Russia hoax? And they stonewalled us essentially, not for months, not for years, forever. They never provided some of that information.
They never gave the information because the whole Russian collusion thing and how it went down was a fake to begin with. We all know that now. And Stewart points out something that I think this goes back not just through the last 4 years of Trump, obviously. It goes through the Obama administration and probably part of that as well, as to how these agencies have entrenched themselves, the so-called swamp, and they're beyond approach. You cannot criticize them. And in fact, if you listen and you buy exactly the phrasing of the House Intel Committee member, Congressman Chris Stewart, Republican of Utah, there is absolutely existing in some of these agencies a total arrogance that we know better than you and will give you what you want when you want it.
How in the world do you tell the majority or the minority leader in the U.S. House, Kevin McCarthy, hey, sorry, we had something come up. We can't come down and brief you on Eric Swalwell. We're a little bit too busy today. I mean, that's outrageous that they would do that. Now, to do it once, maybe, but to do it again and again, like we've seen, it's the arrogance of it is just incredible to me. And they just fundamentally don't understand that they work for the American people. That they have to respond to the American people. They're not an entity unto themselves.
Now, to recap, Senator Durbin talking about the hack, and they believe Russia, and he's on the Senate floor talking about how bad it is. Have I heard any senator from the Democrats or even representatives in the House, Democrats, talk about the Swalwell or even Hunter Biden case? No. We're going to do more of that in the next hour. We'll take a break. When we come back shortly, we're going to have Sidney Powell, the attorney, join us. But I got one other thing I want to share. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I started singing bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Them old boys were drinking whiskey and rye and singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
One more point regarding spy agencies in China. Because if the Democrats can get their way, there is no problem with China. Now, would that be because Joe and Hunter are so closely linked to China now? I'm just asking. But the director of National Intel, John Ratcliffe, is considering not signing any intel report to Congress if it does not accurately reflect the ongoing debate among the intelligence community analysts over Chinese attempts to influence American voters in the 2020 election. The 2020 election. Ratcliffe says, I just don't think right now they plan on including it. And if they don't, then I'm not going to sign off on it. Well, of course, some would say, well, if it was anything, it was minimal. I mean, they just want to gloss over any allegations that China might have had something to do with the election, because Joe Biden won. When Trump won, Russia had to be the one helping him. I don't see them putting our national security at the top of the list. I see them making their political friends list is what I see. All right, let me restate for you something if you missed it in the opening monologue. A recount again of Antrim County found that that Michigan county that reported Biden win on election night was wrong. At November 3rd, they claimed Biden had got 3,000 more votes than Trump. And then after not one, but two, and I think maybe even a third recount, hand recount, they finally said, okay. Biden only got just under 6,000 votes. Trump got 9,700. And you know what they're blaming? Human error. Human error. In other words, they're saying that, well, you know, they were not putting the machine right, or there's some kind of, one of them is saying that the machines were not set up properly and there was bulk adjudication of ballots with no oversight. That's what some are admitting. But they're still saying we're doing more forensics. We're looking at it. Now, I want to ask you, riddle me this. If that happened like that in one county in Michigan, What about the other counties across Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Georgia? And it's critical right now as we're going into this Georgia race. By the way, the Arizona GOP is insisting Joe Biden is not president-elect officially until Congress counts the electoral votes. That is true. I know it's a term thrown around anyway by media and generally accepted. Trump did the same thing before he had Congress count the votes. By the way, Trump is, again, last night urging senators to object to electoral votes during next month's joint session of Congress. He's praising Tommy Tuberville, who's going into the Senate, as maybe finding a way to bring in another slate of Republican electors who would go for Trump and not Biden. So how much is actually still in play to see if there's any way to overturn or rectify or even make legitimate the election? My special guest coming up, attorney Sidney Powell. She was with Giuliani in the beginning as they were fighting the Trump battles, and then there was a separation. Why did that happen? And Dominion voting machines are demanding Sidney Powell apologize for, quote, baseless allegations. Stand by, please.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
My guest is well-known attorney Sidney Powell. Sidney, thank you very much for coming on board with us.
Oh, thank you.
I got a lot of territory I want to cover with you, but before we start down some of it, let's. What options are open at this point still that might change this election before Inauguration Day?
Well, what really needs to happen is that the Dominion machines should be seized by law enforcement authorities and investigated by the best cyber and data analysts that we have in the country to determine exactly what happened in them and how it was done. We know that from the machines in Michigan that have already been inspected. But if everybody wants this election to be held in a lawful manner, which it was not, that must be done immediately.
All right, I want to get why. Go ahead.
Why the Department of Justice has not already taken steps in that direction is beyond my comprehension.
Yeah, and I want
to
come.
The president has authority to order it.
Yeah, I definitely want to come back to that because there's another side angle on that. But in the meantime, we've got Trump trying to go along with the suggestion of Senator-elect Tommy Tuberville that they should basically present their slate for Trump as opposed to Biden and see if they can do it through the legislative or Congress, I should say, change things. What's your evaluation of that?
Well, I think that should be done, too. But it's still not going to confirm for the American people how the vote actually came out in this election. And that's what we all need to know. If the Biden-Harris team didn't have anything to hide, why would they even oppose this? If it was done lawfully and the machines worked properly and the votes were tabulated correctly, what's the problem? This is the best way to confirm that for everybody.
And you're aware, obviously, that Michigan County and Antrim is now admitting that, yeah, when we did a recount, we said Biden won that night, but now we say Trump got 9,700 votes for less than 6,000 for Biden, but now they are blaming it. Like you say, when it comes to these ballots being adjudicated and audit of the machines, they were saying, an outside group claiming, and I don't know if this is part of your group, that the Dominion voting system, quote, intentionally generates an enormously high number of ballot errors, which means then it has to be done by hand. And if it's not being verified and done overseen properly, there's all kinds of opportunities for fraud.
Oh, that's exactly why they did it that way. They checked almost every box to refer it to, quote, adjudication, end quote, and they ran an algorithm that flipped a certain number of votes. There are times when the votes were injected at a rate of exactly two-thirds for Biden, one-third for Trump, with a very specific number of each vote category being injected, and that happened multiple times. Well, it happened in Fulton County, Georgia. It happened all over the country.
And I have no doubt, and I raised that point earlier, that if it happened there in one county of Michigan, look at all the other counties of Michigan and elsewhere. Now, Dominion CEO is claiming in his statements to Michigan lawmakers last week that there was a rule change. The machine programming needed to be updated in October, but Antrim County failed to update all 18 tabulators, meaning some had new programming, some had old, and then they forgot to conduct logic and accuracy tests on the, and they're the very darn things you should be doing if you're trying to be running a legitimate election.
Yes. Well, he also would have to admit, if he were being honest, that their own technical manual allows for all of these features to be activated. They can override anything about the ballot they want to override, from the signature to who you vote for. They can reassign even the identity of the voter in the computer. It's like any other computer. It can be hacked, and it was. We have data analysts the night of the election who saw data being transferred between the United States of America, Venezuela, Serbia, and other places around the world. We have a map of that traffic that we attach as an exhibit to our filings, which people can see at defendingtherepublic.org or sydneypowell.com or kraken-wood.com, a site that the Twitter won't even let you attach the link to, and took our Twitter account down the first night we had it up.
To that point, Dominion Voting Systems has sent you a letter demanding that you, quote, retract the, quote, wild, knowingly baseless, false allegations. And they're indicating you haven't gotten any response back for you. And are you going to respond, or what do you want to do about it?
Well, I get thousands of emails a day. I can't say that I've seen that one.
I would have thought it would have gone to the top, but maybe not. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I have nowhere any ability to keep up with my email traffic right now.
Well, when you start talking about these other countries involved, they want to jump in. And the New York Times, not that I trust the New York Times for anything that's in it. Normally, if it's not in the Times, I trust it more likely. They're saying, again, this is just fabrications. You're just falsifying, making it all up. You're just trying to spread conspiracies.
Yes, well, I've never made up anything in my life. I certainly make mistakes here and there, but I've never made up anything. And we have just more evidence than we can say grace over. This is the most flagrant, widespread fraud in the history of the world. They've crammed it up our nose. They expect us to just take it. The government and lots of other people want to turn a blind eye to it because of the multiple trillions of dollars in play here, the corrupt elections they've run in countries all around the world, the dictators they've installed, the will of the people they've overridden in countless places, and now they're trying to pull this crap in the United States of America. I'm not retracting a blooming thing. If they want to prove they did it right, they should have no hesitation about allowing their machines to be inspected by government officials or independent data analysts. It's supposed to be a transparent voting process in this country. There's a federal statute that requires them to keep, and every county to keep, all voting records for 22 months. After an election, they've already destroyed only the adjudication logs for this election. The Antrim County machines had the adjudication logs for 2018 and 2016.
Sydney Powell, that's a coinky dinky. You know, it just happened.
Oh, I know. Isn't it amazing how that just happens?
Well, of course,
Coffee County, Georgia refused to certify their election. They realized what was going on. Ware County, Georgia, found the discrepancy by doing a real hand.
Well, I got the gist of what you're saying, but what got me a moment ago when I asked you, you're going to retract, and you said, I'm not going to retract a blooming thing. You're pretty candid, I would think, at that point. I don't see any waiver going on. But
right.
What some are pointing out, as Sidney Powell, who was part of the Trump legal team in the beginning, and then there was a split with Rudy Giuliani, that you're going to do your own thing, they're going to do this. A lot of folks are saying, see, that proves that she was even too far away, that even Giuliani had to turn his back on her.
No, that's not the way that worked. I never actually signed on to the Trump legal team because I knew that there was fraud on both sides of the aisle, and I'm going to go after all of them.
Oh. Well, when are we going to start seeing the other developments? Or right now, the main focus is the presidential election, I would assume.
Yes,
well,
right.
I mean,
now,
which would include fraud? Are you saying there's fraud in the presidential election on the Republican side? Is that right?
No, but I'm saying that there are Republicans who assisted in the fraud on the in the presidential election by going against the president. I mean, you know, there are rhinos everywhere. I think the upper echelon of the government in the state of Georgia, despite being Republican, is part of the fraud that worked to get Joe Biden elected.
Well, I'm going to agree with you. I think I'm going to agree with you, and I think many Trump supporters do as well, and even some Democrats have acknowledged that they suspect fraud was existing, or that was they don't believe the results. And when it came to the Republicans in Georgia, it didn't seem that they were not really bidding or doing things as they should. They weren't verifying. They weren't making an effort. I mean, they had to be pushed every step of the way.
Exactly. And they're not telling how many Republicans have benefited from this in the past. We simply don't know. Apparently, elections have been for sale for a good while, and we didn't realize it this way, that they could simply invisibly in the machines change enough of the vote to make it look like it was a close election, but the wrong person won, counter to the will of the people. This isn't the first time they've done this. They've been doing it all over the world since 2014 or so, apparently.
Well, I
Dominion,
cannot.
Smartmatic, Sequoia, all of them.
Yeah, and I think every time you were involving a machine, we all questioned that from the very beginning. But I cannot let you go without another allegation, a charge against you from the New York Times, that you're a part of a group that's saying don't get the vaccine, that you're going to be tagged by the government so they can follow you around, and it's a bad idea. You want to respond on that?
Well, I don't recall saying anything about the vaccine other than I have no intention of getting it. I don't know what they've done with it. I don't think anybody really knows what they have done with it, except maybe the people who created it. And I'm just not interested in the vaccine. I'm going to trust my God-given immune system and take my vitamins and proceed onward.
And I would say proceeding onward means we're going to see a lot more of you as we're even after this. See, that's the thing that I keep saying to the folks in the last 30 seconds or so for you. I mean, it's like a play on a football field. We all see a bad play. The ref calls a bad way. They look at the review. It's bad. But the game goes on. They don't change it. And the next week, well, then the commissioner comes out and says, yeah, we made a bad call. Tough luck. It's in the books. Goodbye. That's where we're going to be with this election come January 20th.
Well, we cannot put this election in the books. You cannot leave the election of the most powerful person in the free world to an abject fraud. The people of this country will not tolerate it. I will not tolerate it. It cannot happen here, or we are destroyed as a republic.
Point made. I want to thank you very much for your time, Sydney. We'll try to do it again in the near future.
Thank you.
Thank you. Sydney Powell, always glad to get a direct, candid remark from a guest, right? No words minced by Sydney Powell as she went through some of those questions and being willing to take them all on. We'll take a break when we come back as the left continues to push for no borders and everything will be good. There's all good people coming across. I'm going to document some things for you that will have you saying, somebody's got to pay for this. Pardon me, but it's not going to be the Democrats because they're going to try to step around it. But they're putting citizens at risk across the nation. Stand by, please.
Larry Connors USA.
You know, when I'm trying to pull together stories about illegals committing crimes in this nation repeatedly, arrested, deported, come back, repeat the crimes again. I mean, I'm flooded with material. It's hard to sort some of it out. And every crime they commit is a tragedy for those victims. Are there survivors? Are there relatives? And we just keep doing this because the attitude of the left is that we have no problem with letting anyone across our border, and then if they're inside the country, we don't want them deported, taken out, and we already know the Democrats are pushing this again. Kamala Harris out of California And Biden, they're all about open borders, and they're all about, you know, we're not going to deport people anymore. We're going to slow everything down. We're going to give amnesty to everybody. And you will not recognize this country if they can have their way fully in the next 4 years, 2 years. We got to make sure we're dealing with it. And some of those who were end up being victims, they were probably leftist view for a while. And in fact, I'm going to share one out of Seattle of, again, where one of those who voted to defund police suddenly, oh, well, let me reconsider. Let me run down some of the more heinous things. So first of all, the shooter in New York City the other day, that Christmas concert that opened fire December 13th at the Cathedral Church of St. John the Divine following the outdoor Christmas concert. He was an immigrant from the Dominican Republic. He had avoided deportation. He was here illegally, avoided deportation, even though he had an extensive criminal record. So he showed up that day wearing a Dominican Republic face, mask hat, carrying a manifesto where he said, I'm justified in the shooting because, quote, because of the way the U.S. treated the people of Latin America. And police were pleading with him, please put the gun down, put it down. He wouldn't, so they shot and killed him. He should not have even been still in the country. And if he was so angry at America, why was he still staying here anyway when he... You can't get any clear answer out of these people. It makes no sense. And then we got this case out of North Carolina. Another illegal. Again, the subject of a deportation order. A minor said that this illegal had assaulted her several times. Well, they start looking into it. There are 19 counts of child sexual assault filed against this guy. He's an illegal alien from El Salvador. He did not appear at his immigration hearing in August 2005, right? So he was ordered deported. ICE had a detainer for him, so if he was released by a county at any time, he'd be turned over to them, but he was not. Until they got back into it, then they finally said, okay, we'll hold him. All right, let's go to California, sanctuary state, don't you know? Governor Gavin Newsom. This is a 44-year-old illegal from El Salvador, convicted January 98, second-degree murder, assault on a child causing death, great bodily injury to a child causing death. And in 2013, ICE issued a detainer for him, requiring his transfer to their custody. Instead, the Department of Corrections in California let him go, walk out December 4. Just go ahead. He's back in the community somewhere. I can give you a conclusion on that. They did say they have found him now in L.A. ICE also says that in L.A. they free up to 100 criminal illegal aliens every day. Every day. We put them behind, you release them, we got to go find them again, start all over again. And somebody's going to end up being a victim of a crime before we get hold of them again. You want it to be your child, your family, your spouse, your friend, your mother, your father, I mean anybody that you know. But this leftist attitude of permissiveness and no border, and it's politically incorrect to basically deal with illegals like this, that we want to even abolish the ICE, our Border Patrol agencies. And then we go to Seattle, where they're still going wacky up there. You recall, of course, they had voted recently to defund the police, one of them being a city councilwoman by the name of Lisa Herbold, I think that's her name. And, of course, they're pushing up there, as they are in California, we're going to legalize a lot of crimes that have been there. We're going to wipe them off the book, say it's not really a crime, not a big deal. You may get a citation. So she told police, the same police she voted to defund, she's on the west side of her living room near the kitchen. She hears a loud noise, sounded like gunshot. She got into the kitchen for cover, but then she realized he was just throwing a rock at her house. What did she do? The guy obviously apparently has emotional stress over something, and maybe he's going to break in the window, try to get in, steal stuff, but what should she do? Should she go out and talk to him and counsel him? Take him a glass of cold milk and a peanut butter sandwich? No, 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 no. The woman who voted to defund police calls 911. Hey, come get this guy. That's what I'm talking about. All right, we'll take a break. And coming up in the next hour, more focus on Joe Biden finally saying something about Hunter, and he picked the perfect location, a TV comedy show. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.